This is our final fellowship for this year of 2020. Been quite a year. And I mentioned this before, but you might want to think about jotting down some of your thoughts from this year. Maybe many years from now, your grandkids might wonder what it was like going through this year, 2020. And I'd also encourage you to take a little time and write down some of the blessings that you've received this year. It's always easy to think about all of the struggles, the stress, and negative things that we've had to deal with, but what about the blessings? What did our loving God personally do for you this year? And it'll be a real benefit to just pause, sit down, remember some of those things that God has done for you in spite of everything else going on, and write them down, give him the thanks. It's really a great way to start a new year. And we're still in what's called the holiday season, as I mentioned last week. Be extra loving to anybody and everybody that you encounter, because you never know what personal stuff people are carrying around inside, in addition, of course, to the effects of the plague and politics and all that, but you never know what else people are carrying inside. So be extra loving and be extra kind. And before I teach God's word this morning, I'm going to teach about something that's not going to change in the new year. But before we get into God's word, let's take some time for prayer and manifestations. Today is Sunday, December the 27th, 2020. And this year of 2020 finally coming to a close this week. And on Friday, according to our calendar, a new year begins. And most of the time, lots of people hope for a new and better year ahead. I mean, after 2020, that's kind of an understatement. And while the, according to the calendar, a new year begins, but, just like always in reality, it's just a new day on Friday, like it was today. Today's a new day. And for sure, many people are praying for lots of things to change for the better in the coming year. Others are making new resolutions for their lives in the upcoming year. But there is something that will not change in this coming new year. And if you would, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's where we're going to begin this morning. Something that is not going to change this year. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever." I want to point something out in this verse, but let's first review a little bit about being born again. Jesus talked to Nicodemus about being born again. So if you turn back to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, we're not going to read the whole record in John chapter 3, but I would like to read in John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered, he's speaking to Nicodemus, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man or woman be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him," he didn't understand, How can a person be born when he's old? I mean, you only get born once. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I mean, what are you talking about? You're either born or you're not born. Verse 5, "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Two real births, born of water, that's the first birth, when you're born, when you're You know, time comes, water breaks, and the baby's born. Except a person be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the first time we get born again. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Being born again here in John 3 is literally born from above, born of God, born of the Spirit. It's also in the Bible referred to as being baptized with the Holy Spirit. One of the last things that Jesus Christ told them before he ascended, which is in Acts 1, Jesus said to him, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. If you go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, before we go to the verse we started with, take a look at verse 3 in 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It says we are begotten. We are begotten. Let me read it again. Hath begotten us again. This begotten of God, this is the same word that's used in verse 23 that we read a minute ago. Being born again, it said in verse 23. Here it says begotten of God. It's the same word. We are born again, born from above, born of the Spirit, baptized with Holy Spirit. And, you know, we refer to it many times as the new birth. And it's an actual birth, just as real as the first birth. Remember what we just read in John 3, Jesus said, except a person be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, of course, we all know, you know, how the first birth comes about. This new birth, being born from above, happens when a person confesses the Lord Jesus, that he's Lord of all people who ever lived. We confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible declares, thou shalt be saved. At that moment, a person is born again or born from above. So with that brief review, let's look again at verse 23 here in 1 Peter and consider something that is just amazing. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, that's the first birth. Being born of corruptible seed. The nature that we have from being born the first time as a human being, it's corruptible seed, right? It can get injured. It can get sick. Human beings die. But when it comes to being born again, it says not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And look at this, what it says in here. But of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We have the authority of the word of God, which lives and abides forever, that this new birth is incorruptible. That means it can't change. It can't diminish. It is not going to corrupt. And you know what that means? That means everything associated with this new birth cannot and will not change. And while this new year coming up may be filled with prayers and hopes for some things to change for the better, it is so inspiring and encouraging to think about some of the things God has given us and done for us in the new birth that will never, ever change. It's incorruptible. So when we confess the Lord Jesus, believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, it says, thou shalt be saved. That cannot change. That will never change. You know, that's why in other places it's called eternal life, everlasting life. Now look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, some familiar verses, but looking at it from this perspective of being incorruptible. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We are children of God, and we will be children of God forever. That doesn't change. Being children of God is part of that incorruptible seed. That will not change. You know, it also says we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ himself. You know what a joint heir is? A joint heir is somebody who shares in the inheritance. But you know, people on many occasions change their will, and someone who was once in the will as an heir is no longer in the will. Not so for us. We remain heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. It's incorruptible seed. Nothing we have in the new birth diminishes or corrupts. It's incorruptible. In Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It also says in Colossians that he's forgiven us all trespasses. It says in Ephesians, he's forgiven us. We've been forgiven of all of our trespasses. Is that ever going to change? No. You know, that's why in Romans 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Condemnation means guilty verdict. Will that ever change? No. We remain not guilty because we are born again of incorruptible seed. It doesn't change. Well, speaking of Romans, let's go back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Righteousness, it's a legal term. It means to be right according to a legal standard. According to God's legal standard, you and I are righteous in his eyes. So here's the question then. Can our righteousness be diminished, lost, or corrupted? People say, well, you know, what if a person totally turns their back on God and starts worshiping the trees, or worse? Would you then still be righteous in his eyes? If our righteousness was based on our own works, then yes, it could be diminished, lost, or corrupted. But how did we obtain our righteousness? Verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified or made righteous in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified or made righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We did not, and we could not, make ourselves righteous before God. This righteousness that we have, this being right in the sight of God according to his legal standard, it's part of what we receive in the new birth. It's part of this new nature we received when we got born again. And that new birth, as we read in 1 Peter, is incorruptible. Our righteousness before God cannot be diminished, lost, or corrupted. Now, sure, a person may choose to walk away from God and worship the trees, or worse. A person can choose to live unrighteously, but being born again with all that comes with it, it's incorruptible seed. Religion may teach that if you're doing unrighteous deeds, you need to stop it. You need to change your ways and do righteous things so that you can become righteous before God. I believe the more you see and understand what God's already done for you in the new birth, that is what initiates a change. People change from the inside, not by rules and regulations and do this and don't do that and then you'll be right before God. The more a person learns about what God has already given to us because of the new birth, who we are as a result of birth, and that it's incorruptible seed, it just overwhelms you, right? That's what initiates the change. Ephesians tells us we're not saved by works. God made it so simple, didn't he? Believe in his Son. Confess him as Lord. Believe God raised him from the dead, and we're saved. We receive eternal life. We have forgiveness. We're his children. We're joint heirs with Christ, and we are righteous in his sight. And all of that is incorruptible. You know, it's kind of stunning, really, when you think about it. How inspiring, how encouraging, especially when a new year is upon us, with prayers and hopes for things to change for the better. How encouraging it is that what God already did for us in the new birth does not change. How great is God's love for us? How blessed we really are. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I mean, we could just take the time and read all 7 church epistles this morning. That'd take us a little while, but it's in there what God's done for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. My goodness. Delivered us from wrath. Delivered us from the judgment that is coming. We've been delivered from it. Romans 5 says that we shall be saved from wrath through him. And if you turn to chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 9, it says, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by not our good works, but by our Lord Jesus Christ. That does not change. And the reason it does not change is because of what we received in the new birth is incorruptible seed. God's not going to someday go, oh, you know what? They haven't been as good as I thought they were going to be. That's it. I'm bringing the judgment to them too. No, no. It's incorruptible seed. All that we receive in the new birth, that whole package, the whole nature that we have is incorruptible seed. Since we're here in Thessalonians, we might as well read over in chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We will not be left behind. Our gathering together to meet the Lord in the air is set. It will not be corrupted, because we are born again of incorruptible seed. Man, how blessed we really are. Because the Spirit that God placed in us is an incorruptible seed, nothing can diminish or corrupt all the rights, the privileges, and abilities that we received when we got born again. The ability to operate all nine manifestations, the access that we have to the Father, being an important and needed member of the body of Christ, and so much more. None of that changes, diminishes, or gets corrupted. And so, as we read God's Word in this coming year, especially the church epistles that have so much information about who we are as born-again ones, and what we have as born-again ones, and what we can do as born-again ones. When we read and think on those things, let's remind ourselves that all those things have not and will not change. It's incorruptible seed. We're going to go to Romans 8 is where we're going to end up this morning. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, that's mental pressure, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No. You know, the world may get even more crazy. Who knows? We may face personal challenges in the coming new year, but nothing we are dealing with today or in the coming new year can ever separate us from the love of Christ. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. No. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. In John 16, Jesus Christ said, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. What a statement. The Father himself loves you. That's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's now our Father. And the Father himself loves you. The love that God has for you personally will never diminish, be lost, or corrupted. God put his seed in us. It's an incorruptible seed. We are literally and truly sons and daughters of God Almighty, and nothing will ever change that. So stay mindful of his promises to you in this coming new year. Because all of his promises to you and me as his children have not changed. What God has promised to his dear children are still true. When it says, by his stripes, Jesus Christ's stripes, by his stripes you were healed, that hasn't changed. God is still able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto him be the glory throughout all the world. we can still cast all our cares upon Him because He still cares for us. The Father Himself loves you. In this new year, let's continue with confidence in who God says we are. Let's continue to come boldly to His throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful and blessed to read this morning just a little bit of what You've made us to be in the new birth. Father, and that it won't change. We are Your dear children. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have Your forgiveness. We have the righteousness that You've given to us. We have all that You said we have, and it's incorruptible. We can't lose it. Thank You, Father, for sending Your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God, we're so thankful for Him always doing the Father's will and completing the great plan of salvation and redemption. And Father, while we wait for Him to return, because we know He will, because You said so, You promised a Savior the first time, and You made good, and You will send Him back. And while we wait, until that great day comes, let us remember that we belong to You, that You truly are our Father, and You have given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we could be partakers of the divine nature, that wonderful nature that we have been given by You, that incorruptible seed. May we continue to trust You and walk with You. And Father, may You continue to be kind and gracious to supply all of our needs. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning, and look forward to being back here next Sunday. It'll be 2021. Unless Christ comes back, wouldn't that be great? Feel free to share the phone number to anyone you think might be blessed to join in with us. In the meantime, have a very blessed week ahead, and as we begin a new year, take some extra time to enter into His loving throne room of grace. Keep praying and expecting God to supply all you need in your personal life. Keep praying lots for our country, and keep praying for open doors to share God's wonderful word. I love you, and may God bless you abundantly. Happy New Year.